Welcome back to this extra special episode of Candy Teeth Radio. Come listen to part one of the tales from this epic journey of dream chasing as Jeremy Gregory recounts the six-week exploration. The trip spanned from Tacoma, Washington to the group show he was participating in at the Hive Gallery in beautiful Los Angeles. Judy and Jeremy had quite the Believables Make It or Break It tour. Check out the long hashtag the Believables Make It or Break It tour for all the photos. Zany adventures prevail. From accidentally attending the American Music Awards, to interviewing artists Randy Connor and Sean Regalado at this year's DesignerCon, lurking on Mike D of the Beastie Boys at a bar, to having cheese and wine while talking with Big Dave of Big Dave's Rockabilly Roadhouse on San Francisco's 95.9 The Crush. All this and way more awaits you inside this action-packed candy dish, so let your ears consume the sweetness that is Candy Teeth Radio. And as always, thanks for spending time with us.
This show is about to get awesome right now. I feel it.
And I'm like, I'll poop in a bucket right now.
More crazy racist than ever. You're making me look like a drunk.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Delete this. The Historian of Bullshit.
I love that title.
I smell this. I smell myself. I love
this. We're not talking about anything. Oh my God. We gotta get back to the thing.
And the world is playing.
All right. Candy Teeth Radio. Back in the P.O. box. Feels like home. It's a little dusty.
You gotta sleep in here, right?
Always. So I just got back from a 6 week long trip.
Welcome home.
I'm gonna be talking about that, but first I'm gonna talk about who's in the studio.
Who is it?
Who is it?
I just wanted to welcome Jeffrey Weig.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me too.
Also, we have one of the neighbors from the neighborhood.
Yeah, I'm from the neighborhood.
Julene!
Hi, I am from the neighborhood. I'm a neighbor from the neighborhood.
I love it. I'm glad that you came.
Welcome, neighbor.
Giddy up, man. You just got home. Let's hear about it.
Well, so I went to Southern California is like as far as we went, to Mission Viejo. Mm-hmm. And it was the Believables Make It or Break It tour, right? That's what I named it.
Yeah.
Hashtag. And
did you make it or break it, man?
Well, we broke the shit out of it. But we're going to make it. A lot of seeds have been planted in various locations.
Well, we can't wait to hear about that. But, you know, I think what people need to hear is that In context, you had installations.
Yeah, I had shows.
In art galleries in downtown Los Angeles.
Right.
Los Angeles, California.
At the Hive Gallery. Nathan Cartwright, thank you so much. Nathan Cartwright is so rad. I'm just gonna jock him for a minute.
All right then.
He brings all these people together. The stuff he does for everybody, like, he's not a dude that, it doesn't feel like he's doing it for himself. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It feels like he's growing the thing. And it's productive for him mm-hmm. to do so, mm-hmm. but it also feels like he's really trying to, like, figure out how to grow this, like, culture there.
Yeah.
And it's totally working and everybody's into it.
You know, it sounds a little bit like what happened in Paris in the 1800s. I've been reading a book called now watch me forget the title of this book. It's Mammoth.
Mammoth?
It's Americans in Paris.
Oh, okay.
Right?
And yeah.
It's all about the artists and the people in the medical field, which at the time was considered an art, literature, fine artists, poets, that all wanted to go to Paris, and they all connected with each other in major ways.
Right.
And I think the same thing happened, you know, at the Algonquin in New York. Writers, artists, poets of the day connected with each other and came together and had amazing conversation, but they also were really the art, they were the creme de la creme of the artists of the day.
Right, and then they were all together.
And they were all together.
Talking and
drinking. Life attracts light. Exactly.
Yeah.
And somehow that cafe culture is very important to sustaining an arts culture.
Yeah.
And I think, so I didn't mean to steal your thunder, but it seems to me, Jeremy, like that's what you've experienced.
Right.
Right.
This is the third year going there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just gotten better. And it's already, like, it was getting, like, best gallery on the art walk downtown, like, all these kind of things a couple years ago.
Yeah.
But then, so people come to him for things, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, and it just grows. But the caliber of people in the show, it's like the guy making the next Star Trek characters. And then the stuff there is in a movie where they're showing you the movie on the pad that's mounted next to it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like it's all stuff that's real. Like, it's not just you're at your house making stuff. It's like you're making stuff all day and then you're going home and making these things for your own shows.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all people that work for people, you know,
mm-hmm.
and like are working on real projects.
That's cool.
So this kind of reminds me of something I heard yesterday, which was, or maybe I saw it on Facebook. It's like, if you are working for somebody else, I'm not going to have the quote exactly, but it was something like, if you are working 8 hours a day for somebody else,
yeah,
go home and work for yourself.
Yeah,
for
do yourself. 8 hours
because
a day
if
and
you're
see what
not,
happens.
If you're not tired, you're uninspired. But I do think, and there's people that I admire who, no matter what, and you are one of them, who, no matter what they do, they work on their craft every single day. Is it that these people are working on concrete projects that are artistic, but then they also go home and work on their own personal projects?
Yeah, they just don't stop. It's like, yeah, these sculptor dudes are, like, just off the hook.
Constant.
I went to, they had a sculpture nerd night, which they have quarterly over the year,
mm-hmm.
where just a bunch of those people come and sculpt.
Mm.
And it's the week after the sculpture show. So, like, people at that show get invited to it. And so I went to it because I was there this time.
Yeah.
The reason we did such a long trip this time is because usually I'll go to the show and I'll, like, meet somebody from Robot Chicken. And then they're like, hey, you should come. We have a party every Friday at our work.
Yeah.
And it's the funnest thing ever. And you should come check it out.
And you can't.
Yeah,
you
and
have
then
to leave.
I have to get on a plane. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's happened every time I've been there. Different things, you know, like
mm-hmm.
Last time it was Designer Con, right, which I went to this time. I got to do all the things I didn't do.
Oh, that's great.
Last time.
Yeah, yeah,
this
awesome.
Time, because it worked out.
Yeah.
It totally worked out for all that. And that was the goal, so I feel like it was a make it.
Yeah, sounds like you made it.
Yeah, yeah.
So let me ask you this, because I want to make sure that people who are listening to this are able to visualize and really understand what it was that you experienced
mm-hmm.
and who was there. So it sounds to me that there were artists from multiple disciplines. So there were,
yes.
Like, so you are an artist, but you're also a puppeteer. So it sounds like there were other puppeteer artists there, and also sculptors.
Yeah.
And fine artists. I mean, but you,
the show,
you're a fine artist too, but I'm just curious, how does he marry all of that into
one show?
An installation.
Yeah. The gallery at the Hive. When you first walk in the door, you run into the desk of whoever's you know, the caretaker of the gallery.
The receptionist,
yeah.
Or whoever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so you walk right up to that, and I have a story that goes with the first time I did that, by the way. But you walk right up to that, then it opens up, and it has two walls that kind of come into the middle, but they stop, you know, so you can go through. and then you go into another room, and then you go through another door, and you go into another room. And then
it's designed like a hive.
Yeah. And oh, and then behind it, though, is studio after studio after studio of people that rent a place there and then show during the shows, too.
Oh, very cool.
But they're in the back part, you know, so it's so it's separated. Right. It's like a perfect thing because it's like you can you still feel like you're having a show and you're in a show while you're at this place that has all these people all the time. The when I first the first time I went there, I walked in and remember, this is my first show in LA and I'm tripped out and I'm like, this is going to be the best thing ever. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yeah. Ate a burrito outside like nervously and then walked inside. There's a garbage can, right? And so I threw the wrapper in the garbage can.
Yeah.
And put the lid back on, and the garbage can was empty. And so when I put the lid back on it, then it just falls over and slams into the 8-foot tall neon light sculpture that's in the window like a bug light for the show.
Oh my God.
And it just goes and turns off.
Oh.
And so that's the first thing I do when I walk in, right? And I, and the guy at the front's like, whoa. And I was like, that thing just broke. What? And I said, yeah, the garbage can fell and this and that. And he's like, oh. And then another guy walks up, huge dude, big beard, weird hairdo, punk rock hairdo. And he's like, hey, is this yours? That the receptionist guy says this to this burly guy.
Yeah.
Hey, is that yours? And he turns around and starts walking over there. And I'm like, oh, great. He has like a ripped jeans jacket.
Uh-huh.
And with writing on it, the he walks over and he's all, oh, no, that's not mine. And I was like, oh, cool. And he's like, I know about, like, electrician type of shit.
Right.
And so
Electricity?
Yeah, electricity. No, but he knows how to, he might know how to fix it.
Yeah.
So he goes down, he starts messing with it, and, like, lights up and turns off and lights up and turns off. You know, like, he's doing something, but he's not getting it. And he's like, I don't know. And I was like, cool. And he's like, you want a beer? And so then he just, I go in with him. Right. To the beer, and then his girlfriend was the one that worked for the Stupid Buddy Studios, which is the people that work for Robot Chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I met her.
Yeah.
So I just went bing 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 bing. And then yeah, but it was just funny that I broke the bug.
But you also had you were in that show.
Yeah, I was in that show. Yeah, that was me. That was me entering the show. Right. like, hello, I'm here.
Like George Costanza.
Yes.
Oh, I forgot my shirt. I was pooping.
Take my shirt off, and then I ruined the sculpture. It wasn't me though. The garbage can. Why does it have a chain? I don't know why.
Yeah. Why does the chain
steal the garbage can? Like,
it's
LA's,
empty.
LA's crazy. Like, New York's crazy, but LA's crazy. People are nuts.
So this time,
yeah,
it sounds like you were more prepared for the reality of the hive.
Yeah, well, this is the third time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so, yeah, totally. I was ready. I had a simple setup.
Did you break anything?
No, I didn't break anything.
Was your entrance more sophisticated? You slithered in?
No, it was like the door busts open with, like,
you know,
smoke.
Here.
Right? And then he, like, rides in on a
Jeremy
Harley.
Has arrived.
Vroom, vroom, vroom. Like Meatloaf and...
And Scarf.
Rocky Horror.
Right. Or Scarf. Yeah, right. So the exhibitions were well attended.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. The audience that he gets is so many people... It's right at the time where it's, like, gentrifying that area, and they were already on
Yeah, I know, because I remember, you know, downtown L.A., when I lived there from 88 to 92 was...
The good old days.
It was not, it was kind of a bit of a, there were a lot of big, you know, the way it was, but it was like ghost town.
Right.
If you went down there downtown at night, it was weird.
Yeah.
It was very kind of...
We walked past the line, me and Judy walked past the line, and, like, got lost off a couple blocks. And then we did that walk through where it's no man's land, and like two blocks away is Skid Row.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like Skid Row, like the hive is literally like three blocks, four blocks from Skid Row.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But then all the stuff's popping
the bench
up.
Is good.
Yeah, totally. Well, he's been there. This is his 10th year. He's like really doing it, and he's making it work. It's
That's
crazy.
Awesome.
That's dedication.
Yeah. And it's paying off because
well,
now
also,
it's turning into that spot.
He is part of why downtown LA is
changing,
experiencing a renaissance.
Yeah, there was way more. I've watched it just over these 3 years because the first year it was like dead.
Wasn't that going to make it more of a pain in the ass to make movies?
Yeah, well, dude, the movies are a pain in the ass.
But
the other way. It's not.
Yeah, it's like, not downtown.
They do whatever they want. There's stickers everywhere. They're like, movie set, you know, like, whatever. We're going to be here during these times.
Oh.
Sorry.
Right. It's pretty easy to get permitted there to make
It's just making movies. Right.
That's what I was just thinking. It's like, you know, if it's like, you know, every night downtown LA is like downtown Tacoma.
Yeah. They're like, cool.
You can make all kinds of movies there.
Right.
Hurry up.
Time.
Yeah.
Like, there's nobody wandering in the background. It's, like, perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you, Garcon. If you just heard wine being poured.
Don't speak
that was my Garcon. Okay, so were you able to connect with people who saw your art?
Yeah.
Not your fellow artisans, but I mean people who came to...
Yeah, there was the millions of people. It was,
they said, oh, is this your art? And you were able to kind of walk them through your process or...
Oh, all the time. Well, I would stand to the side and listen because I like to just listen when people don't know who I am.
Yeah.
And then creep up on them and say something weird. But
vegetables.
I had one. There was a really good one because I had one of my characters had. I did the triplets, right?
Oh yes.
And so these were like three little demons, and they're from a game we used to play when we were stupid. One of them represented weed. One of them represented beer, and one of them represented liquor. Right.
Right. Mm.
And the one with weed, I just made a joint for him, out of oregano,
mm-hmm.
like in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And. I saw six different people smell it. And then I would go up to them behind them and I'd be like, hey, don't smell the art. Don't smell the art. And that one was a good one. Because then they would, you know, and then we'd get to talking.
Yeah.
But I would just stand there. Because it was like selling all night long. In that situation, I switch a little bit, you know, and like fall back.
I'm just wondering, so do you... So when you switch, do you turn into the observer, or are you turning into the pitch man?
No, I turn into the observer, but then I use it as the pitch man. I mean, I'm on this trip, I'm like the work mule.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I can't not try to promote my art, because this trip is ridiculous.
No,
right. And, like...
And there's an opportunity around every second.
Yeah.
Right.
And anybody that walks up, you never know. I meet these people. There was one girl that came up, and she was drunk, and she was like... oh, are you the sculptor? Then it turns out that she's just this badass we looked her up later. Judy made friends with her, because Judy just makes friends with every single person ever.
Of course she does.
And she's a drunk bitch, so they're like, what's up? And so...
No, but you can't judge anyone there, because you don't know who's connected to who.
Exactly.
Everyone is connected
exactly.
to somebody.
You're not standing in Tacoma, the same people and be like, oh, that's cool. Oh, that's dark. I don't have money for that. But it's different. And the first guy that I talked to was a guy that worked for Bones, the show Bones.
Oh, yeah.
He was totally into it. But I didn't know that. You know, like, I'm just talking to that guy. And then he said it at the end of our conversation. You know, he's like, I work for Bones. And, like, we just paint sceneries and stuff. The funny part about this
mm-hmm.
is that the people there were looking up to me. For what I'm doing.
Right.
When I'm looking up to them because they have a job doing it.
But listen,
but the job part, they're like, his wife was like, I said, are you guys in the show? You know, when I first met him. And she's all, no. And he looks at him, you know. Like, no, he should be.
Yeah.
And he needs to get going on his stuff or something, you know. But he's like, and she said this, he does it all day. So he doesn't want to come home and paint. You know, he's like painting scenery all day, or the scenes.
Yeah,
but
that goes back to the point I was making before.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing, though, Jeremy, about L.A. is that, you know, when you say those people look up to you, it's because they are constantly, the turnaround for content is so fast there.
Yeah.
They need to... always be looking for new talent.
Mm-hmm.
And who is the hot new thing? Who can bring something to the table for this show or that movie? Or how can we plug this person in?
Yeah.
And is this a fresh new voice? Is this somebody who does something different that we haven't seen in animation or in film or in theater or whatever? So, of course people are going to look up to artists.
But it's funny to me because, like, I'm looking up to them because I'm at a point right now where I'm like, I need to find money, too, you know?
Right.
Because it's been a long time of not having money.
Right.
Of course.
And so, and I'm not going to stop, so I have to find money, you know, find a way to make money. And
right, and it's about location. You have
It's totally right. about location. It's about location. It's absolutely about location because all those people that I met are like down with me. You know, like they're like down. Like if I was there when I'm at Sculpture Nerd Night, I'd be kicking it with all those people that are all tied into all these companies.
So what's your time frame?
Yeah, before I move.
Yeah. Well, duh. Why am I going? Why am I moving back to New York?
Here's what's gonna happen: is I'm gonna try to get it where it's we're both places, have a foot in both places, and then go back and forth. Because the Hive said that I could have a show there in any of their shows, so I can time it so it's like every 3 months or something like that.
Until you have a better foothold?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
I think that's a good plan.
Well, just to keep it going. Yes, I'm trying to keep it going because I love it here. I love Tacoma. Well, like, no matter how much shit I talk, I love Tacoma.
Well, and I agree. I mean, I think Tacoma is it's up and coming. There's a lot of really cool things happening here, and you have a sweet deal in this space.
Yeah.
And I think that this space feeds you in a certain way. It allows you to be extremely prolific.
Yeah.
With how you churn out your art, and I do think that amazing things happen to people when they're constantly doing their work, no matter the cost.
Yeah.
No matter the cost, because it's a huge cost.
Yeah, it is
art,
a huge cost.
Doing art is a huge mammoth cost.
Right.
So I'm really, I'm so happy for you that you did it this time the right, not the right way, but a different way.
Oh, no, it was a different mindset.
A different mindset.
Like when we went.
So it was well thought out. And
yeah.
How can we not manipulate, but really create the experience that you want to create instead of it kind of creating, you know what I mean?
Instead of waiting for it to
you're
come.
You're extracting what you want from the experience. Is that what, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yes. And it totally works. Like, going there, just talking to these people, just the inspiration alone is worth that trip. You know?
How did you track, did you keep a journal or a log of all the people you met? Or how are you?
Yeah. I wrote down everything.
Yeah.
I think 4 times I wrote down everything.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Like at different places. Because there was all the people we met people like in packaging, we met people in marketing, we met people in every single thing.
What
in
about
hacking?
Did
we
you
met a dude from Anonymous.
And
did you hear me?
What?
We met a dude from Anonymous.
Oh, really?
Like we
oh,
met,
wow.
We met everybody from everything.
Yeah.
And we really had meetings with
was
all these
wearing
people.
That mask?
No, he wasn't. He didn't even have one. I was like, I don't know, dude. I think you're just trying to sound cool.
Like, yeah, dude, I'm totally an Anonymous.
We're taking Nisus down, bro.
Yeah. Totally. Oh, my mask is at the cleaners right now.
I'm soaking it overnight.
I've been using it a lot.
I've been hacking for good for, you know, hours on end here. I had to get a good cleaning. You'll come back next week. It should be here.
Cool. Ready to go.
See it, yeah. Or, you know, I'll just, you could look at my Instagram. It's there.
Check this out. This is it right here.
Check it out. See?
We met crazy people. We met, the first place we stayed was in Eugene. And it was at this dude Saeed's house. And Saeed's this dude that I just watched in a movie that I just
watched. That's an interesting name this week.
Yeah, it's bad. Okay. It's bad for him. It's bad.
I'm sorry for your friend Saeed.
Saeed is in the movie Degenerate Art, which is about glass blowing and making pipes.
Oh.
And he was part of Jerome Baker Designs, which was the company that got busted nationally for, like, distributing bongs over state lines or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know the liar talk. But they all got arrested. It's, like, in the movie. The whole documentary is all about them. So we stayed at his house first
because
Judy knows everybody that's weird like this.
Yeah.
And then he's not there. We left a day late, so he's not there. We stay with the wife. That's awesome. And she's like Judy's sister's best friend. So they're talking about Judy's sister the whole time, whenever, and I go to sleep. But, and then they stay up and look at all the old dudes they used to like in high school, you know what I'm saying?
That's called reminiscing.
Yeah, they were doing it. And
so what, all those dudes came over so they could look at them? Or?
No. This girl just had all the, she was like the me. She documented everything, and she was that person. She has everybody. Mm-hmm. And, like, the next day they went through more of them, more of the books that she had. And, like, I got it. What they're doing, I was like, whoa. She had every day documented.
Wow.
I wanted to get skate pictures for the puppets so bad.
Uh-huh.
But it was raining. It was, like, the first day it rained. And so we couldn't do it at Eugene. And then right when I left, I did a picture of Hand-Me-Down, one of the puppets, outside a weed store. He was getting some weed. But then everybody started sending me all these things like, oh, no, go to the best covered skate park in the world while we're driving out of this town.
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, what? People were sending me pictures of it, like all this stuff, and we could have totally just went there.
Bummer.
Yeah, it was funny. So we leave Eugene. We're driving down the coast. We took the 101. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
scary,
I hate it.
Scary, scary highway. I'm sorry.
I hate it.
I can't go. I can't do it.
Okay, listen. I got older, right? Now I'm old. Now I'm like an old man just holding on the old shit handle, grabbing the thing. When I'm driving, I went 20 miles an hour.
It's the scariest road on planet Earth.
While everybody else wants to go 60 because that's the speed limit.
Yeah, you can't. I can't.
And I'm like, I'm going to go off a cliff. Yeah. I'm going to go, where's the corner go?
I'd be crying.
Like an old man, I can't see at night anymore.
Yeah.
Is what I'm like figuring out right now while we're driving on the cliffs. And so we're driving through the night, and she's like, are you okay? And I'm like, shut up, I'm okay.
Well, why didn't Judy drive then?
Because she already drove. We just switched. I didn't know I was old. I haven't been on a road trip forever.
Yeah.
And
no,
like,
you're
since
not
my
old.
Eyes,
that's a scary-ass road.
No, I'm old because it's a whole feeling. It's like a whole different thing. It's like I can't see when I'm driving at night, so I'm going so slow and like trying to follow the line and stuff. And it's like hard. Weird. Definitely weird.
Okay, I'm just, once again, you're not old yet. I'm here to seriously tell you that.
It's going to be worse.
It's going to be worse. Trust me.
And that road doesn't help anything. So Judy is like, where we're going to stay in the car, right?
Well, you can't pull over on the side. There's no side.
There's no side.
No. We're in the dark, and she's not really going to stay in the car ever.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
Yeah. But she just said it, you know, and I was like, well, I'll stay in the car. I'll stay in the car in the chair. You know, like, I don't need special,
like a bed.
Yeah, I don't need a bed. I don't need the sheets to be. I can have people, when we're in the motel, and it's just people fucking against the wall.
Gross.
And Judy's just sleeping, and then I just go to sleep, sitting there, like, leaning against the wall, while the wall's like, boom, 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 boom. Anyway, I'm just saying I could sleep anywhere. After listening for a while. So
I'm speechless.
Let's get back to the middle of the night.
Let's get back to...
We need to find a place to sleep.
Yes.
We're not going to sleep in the car. She's a princess, even though she doesn't want to be. Mm-hmm. So she finds
a... She's a princess because she wants to lay down in a bed and sleep.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, Jeremy, reel it in.
That's what you meant. Yeah, exactly. So, she looks up on her phone, right? A place, Airbnb.
Yeah.
And she's like, I got this, I think I got the coolest place. I think I fell asleep. Every time I'm not moving, I just fall asleep. So, every time she's driving, I just go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, wakes me up. I think I found a place we can stay tonight. And she's looking at her phone and driving on the 101.
At night.
At night. Well, I'm so scared now and I'm not even driving. The old shit handle is just has a squeeze mark in it from the whole trip. Just
fingernail marks in it.
Help me, scratched in it. So she found the Matria Mountain Village, right?
Mm-hmm.
This place has 3 cabins. One's a treehouse that overlooks a valley of trees that goes over the mountains. We drove, after she found it, we drove on a fire road for 3 miles, but that was super long.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Then
Was it skinny and scary?
Yeah. But it was cement.
And you didn't know
in the pitch black.
This is my worst nightmare.
Okay.
What you're describing.
Okay, listen.
First of all, the 101 alone.
Yes.
That just alone is my, I will never, ever, ever. And I'm serious. When you say never, you're not supposed to ever say never. I will never be on that road.
Julene is sitting straight up.
Uh-huh. I am. And very now honest. When you, and I knew when you said Mountain Village.
Yeah.
I knew that if you were going from the 101 to some
mountain village. To a mountain village from the 101?
That is bad.
Yeah.
That is like, take the 101 times 10 and I would wet my pants straight up that mountain. Cry, scream, I would probably not.
But it would dry and just be
I would not, I wouldn't even be able to.
Hope it's not a
rental car. No, I would not be able to handle it. So you made it there?
Well, we went up 3 miles up the fire road.
And?
And remember they say, don't come after dark. That's one thing. Another thing is you can't use your cell phone for anything, so don't plan on that. Use your mileage counter.
Exactly.
I call it a mileage counter is what I like.
Your odometer.
Yeah, use your odometer. I think they use that word. But they're hippies, I don't know. Use your odometer and go 3.3 miles in. Then that's when it turns to dirt. Then you go 3 more miles.
No! Oh my god! This is
through
just
the woods on a 2-track, right?
Yeah.
No.
Through the woods on a mountain somewhere in the middle of the night.
Oh.
And so pretty soon I'm like, is this the right way? Like, are we going the right way? Is this 3 miles? I don't know. Like 3 miles
did
seems like
count?
It should have been way
did you
shorter.
Make it?
No, she did. We made it to the parking spot, right? Where they're like, you'll see a rock, you know, go to the left and park behind the rock. And then, so we get there, we see a sign that says parking, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're like, yes, we did it. And so we park and turn off the car.
And it's like
pitch black.
Beep, beep. Beep, beep.
Just bear breathing noises. Cougars just sharpening their teeth. That's all you can hear. And I got my knife out and a cell phone light. And I'm ready for battle to try to stay alive.
I totally get it.
It's pitch black.
Yes, it's
and we
evil.
Have and we're walking up a road on a mountain.
Yes, it's evil.
And that's all. We don't know anything else. Uh-huh. We're walking up a road on a mountain.
That's it.
You don't see any shelter. You don't see any
right now. I would
anything.
Be killing Judy.
Oh no, I was great. I was running around. I was doing circles. Like you ain't gonna. Nah, I see you guys. I know you're lurking. And
oh
so, and I'm like keeping Judy in between.
Axe murderers are out there.
And so, yeah, no, it all grows. It just grows.
Yeah,
my imagination
right,
just goes,
right,
yeah.
Right.
It's made out of like dragons. There's like dragons.
There's an army of stormtroopers.
So we stumble up the road to the next parking lot that we could have parked in.
Oh.
We parked in the first one. There's another
no.
one. And then we start walking up, and then we took a right, because I have a sense of direction that's like, go the wrong way, no matter what. If I just have a feeling to go that way, I should go the other way every time. And so I'm like, I think it's this way, because the road like...
Couldn't you GPS?
No, you can't do anything. Your phone isn't even a thing. It's a flashlight. It's a bear-fighting flashlight. That's all you got. And so you go up around, we go around this road, right? And then the road kind of just turns into not a road and it's nothing and we're just walking on a, like, where they're clearing the land.
Oh my god.
So and she's like, I don't think this is the land. I'm like, okay, show me the way, Judy.
Because usually just
turning
around.
Are you crying yet? Are you crying?
Not where anybody can, it's pitch black.
Nobody's got any proof of nothing. That's cougars breathing. It's not me crying.
So then we walk up, we find one of the places, we walk to the main building, and we're like, oh, this isn't it. And we walk down, we find our place. And they're awesome. This whole place is awesome. But we go inside of it, it has a little stove to heat it, right? A wood stove. It has a super dope bed with a window that goes into the valley, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just like where you bring the chick. You know, it's like awesome.
It's where you what? Bring the chick?
It's where you bring the chick.
Oh, okay. Where no one can hear you do your thing.
Business. So, okay. We call that business, dirty business.
So, like, are you talking about, like, kidnapper style?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, there's nobody else there. The other couple's in the treehouse.
Okay.
Hogs. Hippie hogs.
They got the big house.
The The treehouse. The treehouse was the best thing ever made. Look at this. I'll show you a picture. And the listeners won't be able to see it. It's awesome.
But I'm really good at descripting.
That's what I'm saying, so I'm going to show you.
Descripting. I'm good at descripting.
I can descript. You're losing it. Real good.
I can't descript.
I shouldn't smoke weed in this room anymore.
I can
anymore.
Descript that for you.
You're just talking like me. It's rubbing off. It'll take me a second to find it real quick.
Okay, so do you think you walked a total of 3 miles? So you drove in 3 miles from...
We didn't walk. We walked maybe 2 blocks on the mountain.
That's long.
Yeah.
Time.
Yeah, on a dirt road that isn't a road?
With bears.
And cougars.
And vampires.
And owls.
And then you wake up in the morning.
Snakes.
It's the best thing you've ever seen. Birds are chirping. The sun is shining, coming over the trees.
Right.
The garden is shimmering. Yeah. The chickens are... And then right when I walk out the door...
The horror movie credits run.
Right when I walk out the door...
What? I mean, what time did you get there? Did you get any sleep?
Yeah. Enough. I don't really take that much sleep, but Judy does. But the main part, I still haven't showed you the picture. Are you ready for this? I don't even think you're ready for this. This
I
is
am
awesome.
Ready. I'm ready. I'm so ready.
So,
because this sounds like, I know that I will never go there, so, and I need to.
You know that you'll never stay in that treehouse.
I will never stay there, but I appreciate it.
I appreciate
that from afar.
Yeah.
From afar.
Really easy to get murdered in a horror movie.
Oh, yeah.
Really easy.
Really easy to get murdered and just decapitated and dismembered.
I don't know.
Dismembered.
Probably not that fast, though. I think it's where you wake up next to your dude, but the dude has somebody else's face on. Something like that. There's a little bit of blood around.
Really, something bad is happening there. That's so... I'm sorry. Who built that?
The guy that built that.
You know?
Decided
on
it's one of those
tree.
Hippie dreams, like where he was like, I needed a sustainable place.
Yeah, and I'm gonna
that
climb
doesn't
up.
Get cold. Doesn't get cold enough that you can't grow stuff.
No, but I'm gonna climb up 30 feet on a tree and climb, carry all that shit up
the
there.
The first time he went there, he forged the river with a chainsaw over his head. That's it.
Okay.
That's pretty, yeah. Pretty good.
Yeah. And now it's this. And it's just making
it's
cash.
Robinson Crusoe.
Now it's just making cash, though, with Airbnb. Uh-huh. They started doing Airbnb, and now it just makes cash. And he doesn't even go there. He's, like, down buying suits and shit.
Living downtown, gentrifying some shit.
Can't believe I walked
He's
through
He's going to the Hive.
This place is crazy. Did you look at any of these other pictures?
No, because you didn't show them to us.
Besides it being the awesomest place ever, there was catches, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like... You have to poop in a bucket.
What?
No, thank you.
Well, it's a composting. It's a composting toilet.
Right, because can you imagine? They didn't put
no
toilets in there.
It's time
is this
to go,
TMI? Is this
it's
TMI?
Time to go meet,
this is
it's time
so
to find
much.
A bucket.
This is so TMI. I'm feeling it.
Yeah, it's really too much information. It's real. It's like, I didn't have to tell anybody ever.
We don't.
But I'd rather tell everybody.
How about the whole entire world?
So,
how about can I just leave the room?
I walk
while
up,
you're telling everyone.
I walk up to the main building, right? That's where all the hippies talk about where they're from and do all this stuff. But there's only two that are together.
Mm-hmm.
And so I walk up, and they're, like, making breakfast or something. There's a kitchen, community mm-hmm. kitchen. And they're like, oh, hey, blah, blah, boobity, blah, 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 hippie, hippie. And I'm like, yeah, hippie, hippie. And then... They're like, she's like.
Because I would have been like, I don't know what
you're
saying.
I would be, no, thank you, where's the bathroom? And, no, thank you. And if they handed me a bucket, I would cry. I would just cry.
But they don't hand you a bucket, it stays in one place. It's there. It's
oh,
the bucket.
It's a shared
it's the
bucket.
The bucket.
You don't get your own bucket. It's a
what?
Composting toilet. It's for everybody in the community.
Oh.
All right.
Yay.
Like, you've heard of community garden?
Yeah, well, okay.
Okay. It's so I go in there and I'm like, I'll poop in a bucket right now. Cause when I'm traveling, I get this weird I have a weird thing with pooping and I won't do it. Like I didn't do it at high school and I did, but only when it was the worst thing ever.
Uh-huh.
Right. Yep. Yeah, all everything is. That's what podcast. So but when I start traveling, then I'm like, I have to poop everywhere. So who cares?
You're not. I'm never home.
Yeah, there's not. So. I can't get back to my house. I'll poop at your house. I'll poop everywhere. I'll poop at your house if it's next to the living room. Which I don't know why they even designed it like that.
Wow.
Because I think poop smelled a long time. Anyways. So.
Just.
I don't even have to say I sat down on it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I pooped in the thing, right?
Yes.
And I was all happy because I've been waiting.
Yeah.
And then, backtrack. God damn it. When I'm going in, the girl hippie.
I'm just dying right now.
The girl hippie goes, yeah, so there's a composting toilet, and the bucket over there is for the paper, right?
What? Oh, God. Oh, my God. Oh, holy mother of baby Jesus. God, okay.
And remember, I'm going behind a curtain, like 1 foot away from where they are.
What?
While she's explaining this. I'm going behind a curtain that you pull.
Wait, and there's no door?
No. This is Hippieville.
So wait, you go in and other people are eating pancakes?
Yeah, through a curtain, while there's something coming out of my butt. Do you understand that?
No.
I can hear their dishes. Thank you. I can hear their dishes. Let's put it that way. So listen. So, I'm one of those people that wipe my ass, right? So, I wipe my ass, drop it in there.
Are there people that don't? I'm just saying.
Probably.
Google it.
There's people that do everything.
I'm not going to Google
it. Just Google it. Find out the percentages.
I'm having a conversation I never thought I'd have.
So, I drop the paper in there when you're not supposed to.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the first rule. It goes in the other can.
Mm-hmm.
So, I go in. I lift up, I go in, grab it by the tip, boom, into the can. So happy, wipe my ass again and drop it in there.
Oh!
I had to dig in other people's
poop air,
twice while people are eating their pancakes. Okay, Julian?
You're really not selling me on this place, man.
I'm not going.
It's the best place ever.
I will never.
But just do what Judy did. Poop in a hole. I mean, Judy.
I don't need to go to a place that's so far off the beaten fucking track that it is to experience. We can see that view from downtown Tacoma or downtown or Manhattan or whatever. I can go to the rooftop of my condo and see a kick-ass view, okay?
Without shitting in a bucket.
Without having someone hand me a pail.
And
then having to negotiate which pail to whatever. I just can't.
You don't think you can fight the muscle memory to drop this goddamn toilet paper in the bucket?
It's wrong.
One second after you just stuck your hand in it like, oh, God.
I'll tell you I've had the same experience in Mexico because it's the same deal down there.
Whoa, that sounds scarier.
You know, well, I had a similar experience in China, so I'm not really sure.
Wait a minute.
I'm not really sure.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
You brought it up.
No, I'm not sharing. That's all I'm going to say.
Did they poop in a hole?
Yeah, I didn't.
What did you do? You went and found a person's toilet?
I found a different location.
That had a toilet.
Yeah.
And not a hole in the ground.
And other people. I'm not kidding. Next. Okay.
So where did you go?
Where were you after this horrific place? And where did you, when you got back on the 101?
Yeah.
And what was your next stop? Because that thing goes all the way down the coast.
Oh, no. Our next stop was Willits. Do you know what Willits is?
Why didn't you just go all the way to LA from there?
What you talking about, Willits?
Why didn't you just go all the way to LA from there? This is so I mean, it's a day.
No, we're not doing that. We're
on a road trip.
You're not old.
I can't see. So, no driving in during the dark. And we're just going to go do short ones that don't suck.
I don't even know what you're going to do when you're my age. I'm hidden.
I'll have a driver.
I'll have a driver by then.
You'll have a driver.
And I'll be like, let's go on a road trip.
All right. You went to
Willits, California. And it's right after Humboldt County, right?
Okay.
Weed capital of the fucking world. we're driving through, and Judy's like, yeah, this is Humboldt, and it's like, it'll smell like wheat because it's harvest season. So we're driving through, and I'm like, yeah, it smells like wheat. Every time Judy says anything that sounds unbelievable, I'm like, yeah, whatever. For my whole life with her.
Mm-hmm. Why?
And it's always right. She's always right. Never been wrong, ever. Humboldt County, you just drive through on the freeway, it just smells like weed.
That's crazy.
Like a lot of weed.
Did you feel like you were in a cradle?
I was with my people.
Yeah. Did you feel like you were?
No, because they're all nuts. They're weed nuts. They're people that need to stay in the hills. They're trying to make all these laws to legalize it, and then they're trying to deal with these people. But those people are people that are supposed to be, like, in the woods growing weed and, like, away from
society. They're not supposed to live in the city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let them stay out there. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Like attracts like.
Yeah. I'm just saying, it was amazing that Humboldt County really smells like weed.
That's crazy.
So we go to Willits. We visit that friend, and he's there with his two young girls, and the mom's out. And that's the theme of this trip.
Hmm.
We kept running into her old friends that were dads that had daughters where the mom was out. So these guys are raising...
They were out permanently? You mean they didn't live with their children?
Yeah, exactly what I'm
saying. Seriously?
Yeah. And the dads are raising these girls that are teenagers that need the mom.
Well, good for the dad.
But they're doing it as teams. Yeah, no. Good. All the ones we met were really cool. Uh-huh. Because it turns into where, like, the oldest girl is, like, the wife, you know, but not the wife.
You mean...
Yeah. Not weird.
She's
the mom figure.
She's taken over
and
as
she has to.
Yeah,
no, which is bad.
I did that, too.
Yeah,
when I
did that, too.
Yeah.
But it's bad, but it's good. It's, like, bad and good at the same time. Because you're, like, learning responsibility, but you're not old enough to.
Yeah. I mean, children are children. They should be treated as children, not as adults.
I know, but when the other one's gone... And you have to do something.
It's true. Then you have to step up.
So we left Willits early that morning.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to Santa Rosa.
Okay. La. So I've never been to Santa Rosa.
Right. Santa Rosa is where Judy lived for 20 years.
Oh, really? So she grew up there, basically?
Yeah. So we stayed in Santa Rosa for like 5 days. We went to visit Big Dave.
Big Dave.
Big Dave is a DJ on The Crush in San Francisco, and he has a rockabilly show. It's every Saturday from 9 to 11, if you want to check it out.
All right.
And I think on the internet you can just look it up.
I'm sure you like rockabilly stuff?
No.
You don't like it?
I would.
You don't like it at all?
I would totally pass on that.
Mm-mm.
Mm.
Yeah.
We went to Big Dave's house, and we recorded there. Sneaky style, but not as sneaky as everywhere else because we told him.
Mm-hmm. So not sneaky at all.
Yeah.
So he was on his best behavior.
And fully aware.
No, and doing his show. He's a DJ.
Right.
For his whole life.
He has a DJ.
Since high school. I didn't realize that you were that guy.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to tell you.
Yeah.
You
didn't tell me anything about that part. Yeah,
well,
Big Dave.
Tell. He's Big Dave. You should listen to his show. You'd appreciate him.
Yeah,
I've told
that's
him
what
about
I'm saying.
You.
Yeah,
I just
cool.
I just forgot to mention that part.
Okay.
Tonight.
So when you started talking about it, I was like, what? Oh.
He's
overseas, we'd
artist.
Recommend this gentleman, the Charles Atlas of puppetry. Would you please welcome Mr. Jeremy?
Hi. Hand me down.
Wow, look at that.
This is hand me down.
Put the light on, honey.
I did. Where's your flashlight? Oh,
the light's not on, honey.
It is on.
No, it isn't.
Okay.
There you go.
Sorry about that.
Wow, look at that. Oh, he looks cool.
That's Bucky. He's the first one.
I wonder how you got that name.
Wow. Don't worry. I'll be careful. He cast their heads. Did you?
I cast the heads and hands, and I make them out of plastic.
Did you make the outfits?
Yeah, most of them, and I'll find stuff, too. Like old
like
G.I. Joe stuff.
Or,
yeah, doll clothes.
Look at that guy. Wow.
That's Reggie. Dirty Banana Jordan. Yeah,
Dirty Bananas. Wow. He looks across between like Jerry
that
Lawson
awesome.
From The Persuasions and Otis Redding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's that classic hairdo. He has that classic hairdo.
You should see that.
Wow. That's
can
great.
I send you? Yeah. Well,
he's got personality, that's for sure.
When did you start DJing? Or like
well, I did
when
it in
he was
college,
born.
And then I was did you know freelance voiceover stuff in San Francisco for years. But I started working up here in advertising and marketing when I lived in Marin, and then I, not long after I started working here, then I, there was an opportunity to get on and do a show, and then I did this show on this one particular station that doesn't exist anymore, and then I created a show on this, the Crush, which is a long established station, and then...
How did you get into that, though?
How did I get into that? From out of that high school. I mean, really, I was always involved in talking and,
yeah.
and playing music and listening to music, so that's how it all started.
Yeah.
He was a DJ in college.
Yeah.
Yeah, back then I used to play San Francisco music and San Francisco rock out in New York. And so I started playing all the Grateful Dead and the Bay Area bands back then, and that's then I went off to Buffalo and got into experimental.
And he had his
own.
He had his own cable TV program where he
in San Francisco.
Yes,
yeah, that was on a cable channel, and I hosted a rock and roll trivia game show, and I used to break records. It was called Free Admission. And I'd have stacks of records, they'd break, and pieces would go flying, and I'd have all these contestants. The
and
score girl, the contestants,
answer,
the ask tough trivia questions.
Wrong.
Right. And I had a buddy of mine would play a lick on a guitar, and it's like you'd have to, and one of the three contestants would have to, and with the light, whichever light would go on first. It was a low budget game show.
Yeah.
And it was great.
That sounds like fun.
And all the guys, the only guys that would know the answers to the questions were the guys that owned record stores.
Yeah.
So those, I had to get these record collector types that I could ask a very hard question to.
Yeah.
Because anyone else would never get it, you know. And I'd give away, you know, various gifts on the end of the show. Escape from New York Pizza or Noe Valley Deli, whatever it was.
Oh my gosh.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
So that's
and
when I started.
And then you worked for the Grateful Dead for a while, yeah. which was after Jerry died.
Yeah.
Doing what?
After Jerry died, I managed the record division.
Oh.
Grateful Dead Records. And we put out the big gold record box set, So Many Roads, was with a fabric thing. So I project managed that whole thing, and it was a 5-CD set with an old-time, looked like 78 record book.
Wow.
So it had
I think I've seen this thing.
Books, and that was fun.
This pile of stuff.
And there's a bunch of other projects, and then we decided to move up to Sonoma County and started working for the Crush.
After 9/11. We said,
yeah,
we
woke up that morning and said, let's get out of Dodge.
Get out of here. We live, you know, little
you were in Sausalito, weren't you?
Mill Valley.
Did you ever go to that house? That was
no.
the coolest house ever.
I know, but I remember I heard it was really cool. It was like on a cliff or something,
yes.
right?
Yes. It was in a canyon with the Miwok Trail in the distance and Mount Tam. You can hear a pin drop.
It was
quiet.
Awesome.
You hear coyotes
wow.
at night. And you could walk to the Pacific Ocean. You could walk to Muir Beach. You walk over the hill, follow the trails, and come down into Muir Beach.
Wow.
So it was this nice little canyon.
Once. It was really fun.
Fantastic.
Wow. Used to wander up in those hills.
You got lost?
Yeah, I got really lost.
How'd you get
lost.
Back on track?
Follow the ocean.
I just kept walking. You think it's not that far. But
and then it's really far.
Really far.
It's above
especially
Tennessee
in the
Valley.
Fog and you don't
you know Tennessee
anymore.
Valley
mm-hmm.
Trail that goes out to the ocean?
I mean,
ocean.
You couldn't
it's
get
I do.
To the ocean unless you... Well, it would take, if you knew where you were going, it'd probably take an hour.
Wow.
Maybe.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And then you guys moved here.
Yes.
Yep.
I know.
Sonoma. We were looking in West Sonoma County and...
13 years to the
place.
Day, almost.
That's a trip.
So, yeah, we're here. Now I'm doing other stuff with the radio and I.
Yeah,
you know,
you're
I'm
doing music
a record
stuff,
label
huh?
now, too.
Yeah.
How's that going?
It's going good. We have a lot of projects in the works, but right now I'm focusing on this garage rock duo, this really cool group, Huge Large. And Russian River Brewing Company just named a beer after them. It's available right now for the next few weeks. It's called Huge Large Soundcheck Pilsner.
Yeah, nice.
So Soundcheck Pilsner. Soundcheck Pilsner.
That's awesome.
And they just played on Saturday night and did a little record release party. The record is available now. And they named, so the beer, the song, the single is called Vinny's Beer. And Vinny is the brewmaster and owner of Russian River Brewery.
Yeah.
So it's Vinny's Beer is the song that you can download now.
Oh,
and then there's
cool.
the album, which we released.
Nice.
If you like
congratulations.
Garage, if you like garage rock, I'll give you a copy. They do 96 Tears. They do T-Rex and the Stooges and all these fun bands and stuff.
Oh, lovely.
So.
Wait a minute. Let's just play it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's play it.
Let's play it right now.
Okay.
All right.
We'll be right back.
good idea.
You got it. Cut away.
Yeah, that's awesome. Cool. I just, we can download it too, right?
You could download the album.
Yeah.
And you can either do that, you could stream it, you could download it, you could buy the CD. And next week we're getting 180-gram high-quality clear vinyl.
Yeah, vinyl.
Yeah. Here's a copy of the album. You can have the CD.
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
Large. It's mostly like cocktail drums and guitar slide with vocals, the two guys. And there's a bass on a few tracks, but it's primarily, I call them America's favorite two-man power trio. So there you go.
And when you hear them, you'll know why. They got
a big sound. That's why the Pilsner, the guy said, wow, you got such a big sound. You got minimalist equipment, like a little amp that's turned up to the max. So it's a big, giant sound. And the drums look like a little cocktail set, but it all sounds big. So that's why they named that Pilsner, because most Pilsners are lightweight pussy.
Yeah, but this is like bonk.
But this stuff is a big Pilsner. As big as a Pilsner can get.
So that's going to be good. That's going to be good. That's going to be good marketing.
Yeah. So that's what's going on.
Cool. Yeah.
So we're possibly going to see that Daniel Blue that we've been talking about.
Oh yeah. He said he's doing his solo album over at Abbey Road Studios.
What's the deal with this? Okay, so he's in Southern California right now and he's doing house shows.
Mm-hmm. No, I was like, I don't know if that's like a crazy blow show or what.
When you go to the house,
what the fuck? And you just like, they got dark corners and people get all fucking vampire-y and shit, dude. Like, it's scary at those house shows, man. I don't like it.
And then, I think at the end of November or early December, he flies to London. Is that where that is?
Yes. Abbey Road's where the Beatles were recorded.
No, I know that part. But the producing names that I know Abbey Road. I've known him for many years. And actually, we met because of him.
Okay.
We met in New York.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At his opening of his CD release in New York.
As a Moto Pony album?
Yeah.
Cool.
Cool. Where in New York did you go? In the city?
Oh my gosh. It was the city.
Right.
CBGB's?
I would have remembered that one. But anyways, that's how we met. Jeremy was working for a local magazine and doing an article on them. And they flew him out there. And then I was a friend who had miles and thought, why not go to New York and see my friend perform?
Great.
So we did.
We went from Santa Rosa to Mission Viejo, 7-hour drive. That was our longest drive.
That's a long time.
Yep. Mission Viejo is 7 hours from...
Yep, Santa Rosa.
Santa Rosa?
It's actually only, like, hour 45 minutes. But they, like, went there and then drove back and then drove again.
No, you smoked a joint and then you drove there and so it took 7 hours. Dark.
I couldn't see the road.
And they're in Utah and then...
Right, because it's not 7 hours. It's only 6 hours from San Francisco to L.A., so you're a liar, pants on fire.
He told you he can only drive 20 because he's old, remember?
Right.
Wait a minute, let's take a shot. I'm taking a shot.
Okay, go ahead.
You guys watch this.
All right.
Oh, there you go.
Nicely
He's
done.
Taking a pull. He's bottlenecking. Woo. And that smell, I'm all not right. loving. Okay.
That's a truly dedicated Foley artist right there.
Yeah.
So.
That is.
We ended up drunk. We ended up in Mission Viejo. That's where Judy's parents live.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're staying at their house. And that's where, like, home base was.
Okay.
And so from there, I worked on the show for a couple days. They were gone. They were at an all-inclusive resort in the Dominican
Republic.
Okay, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
So then you turned their home into what this studio is.
Candy Teeth Creative in their living room.
And they must have been thrilled about that.
I have a picture for you to check out on that,
too. They must have been thrilled.
Well, they didn't know. They don't know.
They didn't know.
All there is pictures. Yeah. And we stayed in the room.
Where she grew up. Yeah, there
but
you go,
also,
Jeremy. You are now bonded to that family forever.
Also, where the dude that was from Tacoma that went to stay at their house killed himself.
Oh.
What?
It's okay.
Really?
It's okay.
I didn't know that story.
So gnarly.
Mm-hmm. That's sad.
It is sad, but then he's friends with this guy, Sam, right? That's here. We start talking about Sam, and then the door just slams shut.
Oh, the ghost is like, what?
No. Like, dude, tell my dude, I said, what's up? Uh-huh. Trippy.
Okay.
Then, when we're downstairs, when I'm working on my stuff in the middle of the night, super stoned and sleep deprived, ghosts.
Oh, well.
A whole bunch of ghosts.
A whole bunch of them?
Well, I think he made friends or something, because there's
ghosts. He's having a party?
No. You are the ghost attractor.
Yeah, it's a real thing. We're downstairs, it's me and Judy, and then we just hear upstairs,
uh-huh.
But it's more like,
like somebody's moving the
dresser. Yeah.
Dresser.
Yep. Like not no other noise. There's no other
yeah.
thing it sounded like.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that's one of those fucking ghost things. That's fucking ghost. And it's when I'm making these fucking puppets with the witch and the triplets.
Yeah, the demon goat puppets and the witch.
I got the dead little baby birds in there. Everything's
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah.
From there, we went to Laguna Beach, which is one of my favorite places to go.
Mm-hmm.
She has a friend there that's gay, Republican, and against gay marriage. And
wow.
Okay, whoa. Run that by me again.
From there, we went to Laguna Beach, which is one of my favorite places to go.
Mm-hmm.
She has a friend there that's gay, Republican, and against gay marriage. And we just jumped right into another one. I'm just letting them out.
Gay?
I'm letting them free.
Republican and against gay marriage. He's against himself.
He's very against himself.
He's like so.
He's in turmoil.
But is he out as a gay man?
Yes.
And yet he's against himself. Out as against himself.
Right. This time we went out with him, right? He takes us out every time we go there, like right when we get there, he takes us out that night.
Mm-hmm.
And I ate swordfish for my first time.
Mm.
Oh, I love swordfish.
Oh my God.
Are you in love?
Yes.
Of course. It's like fish steak.
Oh my God. This was called swordfish risotto.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It had the stuff with it.
Yeah.
The risotto.
Yeah.
Risotto.
So we eat all that.
That took 2 hours for them to make in the kitchen too.
It took 2 hours for me to eat it because I was doing every little bite and then I would talk in between.
Of course.
That's good. You
can't
eat all that all at once anyways.
So
no.
how does our friend the gay Republican feel about his uber left wing friends? I mean, you guys
we
are
just don't talk
uber
about, yeah, we don't,
you just don't talk.
We don't talk
them.
About political
Got
stuff
it.
At all.
Okay.
It's all just them talking about high school. They were like best friends in high school.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And he's the gossip dude that knows everything about everybody.
Mm.
Right?
Beautiful. I love that.
And so everybody hits him.
Yeah.
For what's going on or what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody's like,
everyone
he knows that. Yeah.
He pings exactly. everyone else too.
Exactly.
Yeah. I love that friend.
Yeah.
I have a couple of those from high school and in college. I just.
And people.
I adore them.
Yeah.
They're the nerve center.
They're the link. Yeah.
They're the nerve center of connection and, right?
Yeah.
Because, and they're the best. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
They're providing service for you.
They provide a service.
And the funny part about this one was we were there a year before this, right? Like, everything's a year exactly because of the show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And
right.
So, like, all these things are a year exactly. Like, Facebook is popping up with pictures from the show while I'm at the show.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Your memories from a year ago today.
Exactly. Which is awesome because then you're like, look at this to the dude that was there last year.
I wasn't wearing an orange shirt. Oh, this is last year.
So you're at dinner eating swordfish and risotto.
Oh my God. And then the, not popcorn shrimp, some kind of fucking shrimp. Shrimp that comes with a little sweet and sour sauce that you dip in it.
Scampi?
No. It's deep fried. And it's just
coconut shrimp.
Coconut shrimp.
Love it.
The best
so
thing.
Fucking good.
It is
ever.
So
yeah.
wonky
it's
good.
It's me and this dude that eats like this all the time.
Yeah.
Clue. Yeah. And just eating this. I'm just talking about it every bite. And like going through a whole like different thing.
Your eyeballs are going rolling back in your head.
I'm like, microwave fucking oatmeal can fuck off. This shit is bomb.
While I'm making my own puppets and that damn microwave oatmeal.
I wanted to stay there forever and just marry him, even though he's against it.
Yeah.
You know what? Because he knows you're straight. He would probably marry you.
No, he's told me he's into it. That's his whole thing.
Yeah. So then he would marry you. You're straight.
Yeah.
He's gay.
So
that's
right.
Totally right.
In a weird way.
In a weird kind of cool way.
It's because it's not what everyone says is wrong.
It's,
nobody does that.
It's upside down. It's opposite
nobody
day.
Does
upside, it's
down.
Upside
down gay.
It's opposite
the
day.
This gay dude and this straight dude cannot get married. Nobody's
saying that.
But
they're deciding they are going to get married. He's straight.
Yeah.
He's gay.
Yeah.
They want to live together.
There's no
because Jeremy wants to
it.
Go to this high-end restaurant all the time.
Oh my God.
So the only way he can make that happen is if he becomes his girlfriend's best friend's wife. He needs to become the wife. And so that he can be taken out to dinner and eat swordfish and risotto. And feel sexy with coconut shrimp.
Exactly.
Damn, that's a good plan.
Exactly.
Jeremy, you need to, like, move on this stat.
I think he's down. Honestly.
I think he's down on it. You guys could do, like,
that?
A little threesome thing.
Ew, gross.
No. In word only.
I like that. In word only.
In word only. Not in action. Don't take action on it. Just in word only.
Yeah.
Jeremy and Judy can have their own bedroom.
Oh.
They're married. Jeremy's married to, what's his name?
We don't want to say his name.
We don't want to say his name.
Ricky.
Because he's the top collector of newspapers. We don't want people to know that.
Yeah, now you just said who he is.
Top collector of newspapers.
You mean he owns them?
Or he's a hoarder.
Is he a hoarder?
It's a fine.
Oh! Oh, you mean, I was thinking, has he purchased the newspaper company? Oh, he could have.
Not the company.
No.
The actual
each
paper
company. Individual newspaper of anything that's happened, ever.
Oh, he is a newspaper hoarder. That's, you know what, they're...
He gets them in the mail, and he just gets that look, like when I see a big bag of, you know what I'm saying?
Does he keep all of them, or does he recycle them?
Recycle them?
He vaults.
Hush your mouth!
He puts them in the vault. Alphabetized and
they're in the basement.
Year.
There's millions. It's every single thing. Kennedy. Every single thing that's happened ever.
Okay.
Did you know when Pee Wee Herman lost his show?
Did you see, or when he was in the movie theater?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay. Did you see the newspapers in their library?
All of them?
Yeah.
No, never.
Was his home clean?
Oh, yeah. Spotless.
Organized?
Yeah.
So he has a secret vault.
Yeah. Full of these. He just goes in and naked and rolls around. And
he just got like... It's like the whole ceiling is made out of microfiche machines.
Headlines.
I am silly putty.
Oh.
Prints on my body.
He has a special silly putty suit.
November 23rd, 1963.
Oh! Exactly.
Okay.
Wow.
It's really fun to visit him. That's all I'm trying to say. I don't know.
It sounds great.
I don't know if that
it
came
through. It sounds
through.
Totally great.
And you just get hammered. You go out and just get hammered in Laguna Beach at these bars
and
with all these rich people that you hate. And they're
yeah,
hammered.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's the thing.
What's the thing?
I'm sorry, there is nothing better than a fine dining experience with a lot of fucking booze.
Oh,
and
my.
Champagne and wine and cocktails.
Yes.
And aperitifs and a
fun,
snifter,
fun.
A heated snifter,
yep.
Followed by a nice, you know, chocolatey, moussey moment.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I'm just kidding, seriously.
I know, I'm
there's
with you.
There's nothing, I am all, I love a good restaurant.
I eat microwave oatmeal every day, all day long.
I do not.
I know.
And I will
But I'm
not.
Saying when you go eat swordfish after that?
Yeah.
Yes.
A thing happens that's different.
You crossed over.
Yeah.
You crossed over, my love. And it's a good thing. I do think those experiences are important in life.
Mm-hmm.
Once you go fat, you never go back.
No, you do not.
Is that something like that?
Good restaurants. restaurant food.
Would you go swordfish?
Fine dining.
We're not talking about anything. Oh my God, we gotta get back to the thing.
Okay.
Laguna Beach is awesome.
Okay, so what's the commute from Laguna Beach to downtown LA?
But that's not where we're staying, though.
Oh, where did you stay in L.A.?
We stayed in Mission Viejo. We drove to L.A.
No, I know. Okay, I know. That's what I said. What's the commute time?
From Laguna?
From wherever. Mission Viejo, where her mom and dad is.
It depends.
I'm guessing it's 35 minutes with no traffic, or 45 to an hour.
I don't know.
You don't know.
I have no idea what it is without traffic. I don't know anything about L.A. without traffic.
Well,
The only time I ever drove in anything...
Was with massive traffic?
Was with massive traffic.
All right.
Across 8 lanes.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know what? The way to do it is to where it's either... It's always in the dark with no traffic.
Yeah. Well, the thing is...
If there's daylight, there's traffic. But if it's in the dark, like, say, 9 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock, it's easy peasy.
Nope.
Yeah, it is.
We did it.
I'm sorry. No, I lived there for a long... You know.
I know. But what I'm saying is, it was true.
Okay.
Everything we left was at in the middle of the night. And then just, boom, run into traffic. In the middle of the night?
Yeah. It's
how many humans were there? Why are they there?
I don't know.
Well, there's 13 million.
Why do they always have a car?
They all have a car. You can't live without a car there.
The fucking...
It's not possible.
The HOV lane is what we call it. But theirs there is the same thing. It doesn't matter. Like, you get in the HOV lane, and you can't get out.
Right.
It's, like, illegal to get out and go to the other lane.
Right. Or you get a fine.
Yeah, there's, like, huge lines.
Yeah.
Super thick lines.
Yeah.
And it's just stuck, too. And then sometimes it gets slower.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have some terrorist attacks there because that place has too much.
Stop it.
Sorry.
Don't.
I'm sorry.
That was so awful to say. That was wrong to say. Apologize.
I'm just saying.
That's awful, Jeremy. What?
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 All right, moving on.
All right, so we're in Mission Viejo. We did that. We went to Laguna Beach, blah, blah, blah.
This
ate some swordfish. Got
edit.
A little fat. Yeah. I got fat over this whole thing because I was doing all this weird eating of weird stuff. So then we go to Malibu for the weekend.
I love Malibu.
Oh, the cousin's house. The cousin's house is like on the back of Martin Sheen's house. And then it's around the corner from the dude from Thor's house. And then it's a blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Can't talk. So that's my favorite place to go.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy. You take a golf cart from her house to the beach. But you got to pass Julia Roberts' house. And you got
to... Right.
It's just all a crazy place where it's like surreal. And I'm playing with puppets in the backyard.
Well, it's just beautiful there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so
everywhere.
Beautiful, yeah.
The beaches are ridiculous.
Yeah.
The beach that's right by our house is like a super good surfer spot. And so every time I go there, it's like cool to watch.
Right.
It's a bunch of like the cool surfers are out there surfing on the surf.
They are true surfer dudes.
Yeah. Well, it's like a cool spot. It's like you have to be cool to be there.
Right.
In the first place.
Yeah, because if you're not cool...
You're not there. You can't be there.
Yeah.
So, we stayed there for a while, for a couple days, and we watched this movie. See how stupid this is? Malibu is the best. Malibu is beautiful. Malibu, blah, blah. So we watched this really killer movie.
Yeah.
The one with, who's the girl that's fat, but she's not? And she's super funny.
I don't know.
Melissa McCarthy?
She's going to hate that you said that.
Why?
No.
She's the funniest.
No. Amy Schumer.
Oh, yeah, she's funny.
Oh, she's
really funny. She's
fantastic.
Hot right now. Yeah, she's hot right now.
Love Amy Schumer.
Amy Schumer with the other dude from the other thing. And they had the movie.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah. The recent new movie.
Yes.
Yeah. So you
God,
had a
I wish
screening.
I remember what it was called.
So you did a screening of that?
Yes.
Cool.
And it was one of the best movies ever. And she's super funny. And I didn't even know anything about her.
Nice.
You haven't seen her stand up? You haven't seen her stand-up
stuff? No, not yet. And I heard about it.
Oh, my God.
Judy's mom told me about it, and she gets so dirty.
Oh, she is a dirty girl.
Oh, yeah.
In the best way.
No, she said at the award show or whatever, she was like, who's the hot guy?
Oh, how many? I mean,
Hot guy in
Hollywood. Let me count the ways.
He can have my asshole. I got his names written all over my asshole or something like that. And I'm an ass virgin. That's what she said to, like, E! Entertainment.
Uh-huh. Oh, I love her so much.
She's really good. I was like, I love you.
Good.
Write my name on your asshole. That'll never happen.
You need to see her stand up.
Do you know how hard it would be to write on yourself in that way?
Well, no, you get a mirror, you do a little yoga.
I think you just go to a tat artist.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Right?
Done. Done.
And get thrown out.
Yo, I needed to say Jeremy Gregory around.
Right here. Get the fuck out of here.
Who the fuck is Jeremy Gregory? Where else did we go? Went to Laguna, went to several.
Malibu for the weekend, and then what?
And then Paris got attacked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Do I remember?
Yeah.
Horrified. Horrified beyond description. I can't.
You can't even get into it?
I can't. Well, I think it's... Yeah. No, I mean, do I remember it? Don't we all? The whole planet remembers.
Yeah.
In horrific, god-awful details.
So does it make you want to get a gun?
No.
It made me just want to get a whole bunch of guns.
No, I think that would be the worst reaction to that. Because that is exactly... the wrong reaction.
Right. But I still want to get a gun. Because
Jeremy,
if there's...
Jeremy, just stop.
I know, this is going to sound dumb. For sure.
Stop.
But what I'm saying is, if I'm in a theater, if I'm watching a rock show or whatever, and all of a sudden people around me start getting shot, I want to be able to shoot.
That's the rationale that the NRA uses.
Yeah, I'm down.
But here's the thing. God damn it. It needs to be where guns can't be gotten that easily. Oh, my God.
So you're saying there needs to be less guns versus
just
everybody.
Oh, you think? The whole world needs to be eliminated. We don't need guns. Why are people killing other human beings?
The only point is
to kill something or someone. What is the end result? Let's just kill. Let's just kill. There's babies. Women, children, let's just kill everyone until just people with guns, and then they can just kill each other and no one's left. Oh, that's so smart. And that's such a great solution.
Just
the point of a gun is to harm
a
human being.
Are only
there's
the
point
that's
the only
of
point.
A gun is to harm an animal or a human being.
That's the only point. The only point is to kill something or someone. That is it.
But
it
if there's somebody randomly killing everybody around me, I want
to
kill them.
They shouldn't be able to get the gun. That's
well,
the
no,
thing.
They're already doing it.
No.
They already got the guns. They show them.
Well, you know what? I can't find any good reason to do that. I don't want to kill another human being. If they kill me, okay, then I'm dead. Fine. Mm-hmm. I'm more scared to death of my daughter for being somehow in a random situation.
Yeah.
I mean, my fear is not... I don't think anyone's fear is worth getting a gun. It's just not.
Yeah.
There's no need. There is no need. It's not even a rational thought to me. So, but you still want to have a gun?
And one on my ankle?
No, you
and
know
a
what?
Knife
listen,
on my belt.
There were a couple of guys. This is, you know, there were a couple of guys who came into my condo and were doing some work for me. They were doing some paint and they were just doing some fix-up work for the person that's buying my place. And
right.
I had CNN on, and of course, you know, they started spewing shit about Obama, and I'm thinking, okay.
While they're in your house?
While they're in my house, and I'm thinking, okay, they're in my house, and I
love my president, and I think he does a remarkable job with all the crap that's thrown his direction. And I'm, okay, I can't really bust their balls for spewing hatred. And then they trust, and then they start talking about guns. And I just, like, in my brain, I'm like, okay, da 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 la 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 la. And they turn around and they say to me, well, you know, and I go, well, you know, I'm not a gun person. And they go, well, you know, everyone in the state of Washington is packing. And I go, really? 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 Everyone is packing? Yeah, everyone has a concealed weapon license. And I'm like, am I so delusional that I don't believe that? Yeah. I don't believe that everyone is packing a gun in their ankle or in their whatever.
But I think guys, you can go up just now.
But I do think these guys, I do too, but I think these guys, this was pre-Paris.
Yeah, right. That's a long time ago. Sorry.
Well, it was 3 weeks, right?
It seems pretty inappropriate conversation for when you're in a, you know, a client's home.
I agree. Oh, yeah. When you don't know what their political beliefs are and you're spewing forth that, you know.
Weird shit.
Obama hatred and guns and all that. I was like,
yeah, I mean, okay. You know, Seahawks or whatever. You know, the weather.
Yeah. Do something like that. Stick to the little things.
Uh-huh.
Well. I left out what part in Malibu. Let's go back to Malibu and just forget about all this gun talk.
Yeah.
We're in Malibu and Judy's cousin that we're staying with there is like, let's get a drink because it's raining. And then I was like, all right. And then so we go in and I get like some kind of weird kale super food drink. You know? Okay. I think she was kind of bummed. But instead of getting drunk. And
you get a smoothie.
Yeah. And so we're sitting there and she's all, look, there's Mike D. And I was all, what? And I was like, that's not Mike D. That's like some old ass dude. And then he turned his face a little bit and it's just Mike D from the Beastie Boys, which is like a big deal to me. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of depressing at the same time because everything is old. Everybody's old. That's not supposed to be.
Okay.
Sorry.
More old.
I take it back. You just sat down and redid your shirt. Just breathe. Jeremy's doing it again, saying he's old. He's not even fucking old.
Because everything my self-talk these days is all about being young.
Oh.
Yeah. And not.
And I'm killing it.
And not buying into any of that.
Yeah.
Talk.
That horrible, dirty talk.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this dude looked old, and he's supposed to be one of the Beastie Boys.
The Beastie Boys were like 17, 10 years ago, so stop.
No, that's not true. They're older than me.
Maybe 37. No. Really?
Yeah, they're 17 in like 1982.
Okay, I don't
know. I bet you they're 47 right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And looked older. Just kidding, Mike D. Nice seeing you, bro.
No, I seen a video just recently on Facebook. Somebody posted of them when they were super young.
Mm-hmm.
When they were still like a punk band.
Yeah.
And they looked like little tiny.
Little kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so weird. It
seemed like they were little kids in the 90s.
Yeah, they were little
That's
kids.
That's only in the 90s. Like 15, 20 years ago.
That's like 25 years ago.
It's only 25 years ago.
1990 was 25 years ago, but if you say the 90s, like Sophie was born in 1998 and she's only 18. She's 18.
I'm not old.
I'm in denial.
I like it.
Okay, so.
So. One of the things I got to do this year that was one of those things I didn't get to do any other year when I went there was go to DesignerCon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And DesignerCon is like a huge, I wouldn't say festival, it's like a convention, huge convention.
It is like Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Okay, so DesignerCon is like for film?
No, for toys.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And so it's all like weird toy. It was very interesting.
Yeah.
We went there. I had a friend there, like from Instagram, from having these shows. Mm-hmm. I made friends with him from the show like last year. I posted one of his pictures and then tagged him in it. And ever since that, we like turned into friends. Mm-hmm. And then when I was there this time, we hung out a little bit. And then I interviewed him at DesignerCon. Mm-hmm. And so this is how that interview went.
All right, so I'm here with Randy Kono. I don't even know where the mic is. I think the mic is like right there.
It looks like it. Looks like the hole would be the mic.
I think the hole's the mic. Look.
Hello.
Yeah, all looks right. Like it's working. Testing, yeah, testing.
One, two, three.
You want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. My name is Randy Kono.
Yeah.
And the maker of the Harshmallows.
Yeah.
The creator.
And?
Chloe. Chloeography.
Nice. And you want to come closer?
Yeah.
You do jewelry?
Yes, metalwork.
Yeah.
Metal wearable fun stuff.
Yeah.
Hammers and torches.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, yeah.
A lot of circus?
Yeah, circus is my inspiration.
Yeah.
She loves clowns.
I love quirky stuff. I make guilt-free sweet treat.
Nice. And so you, and then you got the Harshmallows,
yes,
of
sir.
Course.
Yes, sir.
So also we're both, guilt-free.
Yeah, also guilt-free. Food. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Seriously, if you eat them, maybe not. But if you just look at them, they're guilt-free.
Yeah, and you can find them. Can you? Can the listeners look them up somewhere?
They can. TheHarshmallows.com.
Boom.
Or even Google the Harshmallows.
Yeah.
I did that once, and TheHarshmallows.com came up first, so that's nice.
So you're good.
Yeah, but it's not a verified site yet. You know on Google where... If you Google something, it says okay or
yep.
Unverified. Yeah, mine's unverified. I don't know why. Maybe I didn't pay something.
But just tell the people it's safe. It's safe.
Yeah, I know.
You're not
going to
do
safe,
anything.
No.
You're not going to do something weird.
Malicious or anything.
Okay,
no.
Cool.
Hashi is family friendly.
Yeah.
It's safe.
It is. I love them, man.
Thank you.
They mean no harm. So, DesignerCon. Can you explain DesignerCon a little bit? I'm still in awe. I just walked in and I'm...
DesignerCon, I think it's like... It's just like a huge show where it brings together many artists that I guess specialize in specifically toy design.
Yeah.
You know, but it's also I guess an apparel kind of show.
Yeah.
Apparently, I was not fully aware of that. I thought it was more the toy design thing.
Yeah.
So that's.
It seems like it's a lot of toys though. It seems like it's heavy toys.
Yes, I think that's what it's mainly about here at DesignerCon is the. Just giving the toy designers a venue to show off their stuff and, you know, meet other toy designers.
I went by that Prince on Wood.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
That's a good example because they're not toy designers.
Yeah.
But they're here, too. And they're,
yeah.
So it's got a lot of different things, I guess.
Yeah. You know, a lot of different art focus.
Yeah.
Craft, too. There's some craft stuff.
Exactly. Crafty. See, there's prints, there's sculptures, there's toys.
It's overwhelming.
Yeah, yeah.
That's, how many, do you guys know how many?
I think there's something like 300 vendors.
Wow.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah.
Because there seems like there's more.
On that list, that list looked like it was more than that.
Right? It looked like up to 1,000, but
yeah.
I don't know.
It's pretty big.
Yeah, many, many hundreds.
And it's interesting to see the different vendors and see, like, the ones that are doing good with all the people at their booth.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the ones that are sitting there and people are doing, like, there's a force field around it.
Because you could just hear
they're just sitting there. Yeah, they're, like, looking at their phone or something.
I don't want to be that booth.
No, me neither.
I know. But, no, I've seen the other booths with people, like, just crowding around.
Yeah.
You can't even get a second to think. That's nice. I would like to become that booth someday.
This is your first time doing it, right?
Yeah, it's my first year. Both our first year.
Yeah.
So far, so good.
Yeah.
It's a good experience.
You make your investment back? Yeah! You're just supposed to say yes.
Yeah, I know. We did so far. Sure. So that's good. It's all like fun from here.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You made it to the finish line.
Yeah.
And now it's time to start.
Yeah, exactly. So it's good, dude.
Yeah, that's good. Well, thanks for talking to me. I'll put it in there.
Of course, man. Awesome, dude.
And it's cool to see. Yeah, it's cool to see your pieces from the show are here too. Pieces from
exactly.
The Hive show.
I'm glad Nathan allowed me to take them down and show them here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to ask him specifically, and he said, "Yeah, this as long as I, promote for the show."
Yeah.
So that's fair.
Cross awesome. Promotion.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's good.
Man, that was a good show too.
Yeah, it was, dude. Always.
All right. Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir.
Check out those harshmallows. Indeed. And check out Chloe. What is it, Chloe?
Chloeography.com.
Chloeography.com. All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Candy Teeth Radio.
Nice.
How's it going?
It's going well. Have your dolls been all over the place today?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm here. Wait a minute. I don't even know your real name. I know internet name.
Sean Rigolato.
Sean Rigolato. Otherwise on Instagram, known as Gorilla. Like Gore.
Yeah, Gorilla. Yeah.
So how's it going?
It's going well. It's going really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your stuff looks great.
Oh, thank you.
This thing has got me off guard. I walked in like, what? Had no idea. Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Is this your first year doing it?
No, this is my second year doing it.
Yeah.
But I've been coming on and off for like, since like, gosh, 2004, I
checking
think.
It out?
Yeah, checking it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it,
so you had an idea of what you were going to do? Game plan?
Yeah.
Yours is looking good, this bear, dude.
Oh, thank you. That's my Mike Near Bear from Suicide of Tennessee. He just wants a Pepsi.
Yeah. He just wants a Pepsi.
These are all done on the... on the plastic cells, white cell, and it's a preformed resin.
Yeah.
And I just sculpt over the outside of it. It's really nice because it's a quick sculpt.
And you can just add to it?
I can just add to it, and then I use a heat gun to bake it.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
This is awesome. I didn't know it worked like that.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what I've been doing with these.
Yeah.
And these guys are the originators of it.
Of that blank?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
And they've done that. They've done, like, all sorts of celebrities and...
The Plastic Cell.
Plastic Cell.
Instagram's the best place to follow them. What was it?
@Gorilla. @Gorilla at Instagram.
All right. Hey, well, thanks, Sean.
Thank you.
Here.
Good to see you.
You know, can I just say, Ed?
Yeah.
I mean, So, Designers of Toys, my first professional job I ever had in New York was I was hired as a model for the toy show in New York, which is a huge thing every year,
mm-hmm.
which is probably, I don't know if it's evolved into DesignerCon, if that's what it is now.
Yeah.
But my job was to describe this toy that was a square box that had four light things that it lit up, and the object of the game, what it was like tennis, playing tennis with lights, and my job was try to explain it to people who came through the exhibit.
Uh-huh.
I think it was a Mattel game at the time, and so you're gonna love this. Oh. So Andy Warhol comes in, and he found this fascinating, this game.
It's
and
like
I
pong.
It's right. Pong. What is this? What is this? And I said, oh, well, this is a tennis game with lights. And I start playing, so no one could beat me because, of course, all I'm doing all day long is playing just light
the champion.
Pong,
yes.
Ping pong thing.
Yes.
And so he was playing with me. Yes, I know.
Playing pong.
And I was a very young girl. No, I was 23. So Andy Warhol and I are playing this ping pong tennis light-up game. And we played it for, like, I don't know, like an hour or something. Because he couldn't
like
beat
a long
me.
Time.
A long
he couldn't
time.
Beat me, and he wanted to just
beat
me.
And he could beat. And then finally I had to kind of let him win because I didn't want him to feel embarrassed.
I
got to
get rid of this guy.
So that's my Andy Warhol story.
I love it.
Which ties in because he's an artist and you're an artist, so.
Yeah.
And so that was.
And I live in Tacoma and he's going to be on the Tacoma Dome?
I know. Isn't that cool?
I don't know.
I think that big orange daisy should be on the Tacoma Dome.
It's better than what's there. That's what I'm going to say until I die.
Well, really what's there is just ugly.
Stupid. Yeah.
Ugly ass.
Yeah.
Ugly.
But I still think that in the art town, quotes, air quotes,
mm-hmm.
You could probably find an artist to do it from the town that you're representing.
Who's alive?
I know, but he did design that for the Tacoma Dome, and he did present.
He didn't.
He did.
No,
because
he didn't.
I saw the exhibit, and I saw the design that he did.
Yeah.
But the estate did that.
The state didn't design it.
No.
He designed it.
Right.
He did the drawings. Mm-hmm. And he submitted those, and it was turned down. Mm-hmm. So you think it would be better for somebody here? I don't know. I think it's kind of a cool historical idea.
But that's old thinking.
Really?
Like, not to call you old, but I'm saying...
Apparently, you just did.
No, but what I'm saying is everybody that's backing it or started it or has anything to do with it is older, and they're thinking of Andy Warhol as this thing that... Tacoma is like its own thing. It doesn't need a New York thing. Mm-hmm. There's enough artists here that are badass that could do something cool, and I'm not even, I have nothing to do
other
with
than
me.
You, I haven't seen anyone.
Yeah, but
other than
I
you,
know,
I haven't,
I know
I'm
people.
Sorry, I haven't seen anyone really, the tripe that they put on the walls down here, the people that they, I'm horrified.
Like what? Like when you drive out of your garage, what do you see?
I drive out and I look at a gorgeous new, brand new bridge and a great view. And the word penis was spray painted in huge letters. And I thought, don't do that on new.
New
no,
stuff.
No, go find ugly ass building and do that. But don't do that. And you know what I mean?
Yes, I do know what you mean.
It's a great tag name.
That pissed me off.
On the brand new bridge wall?
On the brand new bridge wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not okay.
White cement.
I don't care what color. No.
I don't see color.
I said I don't. I know. I don't care what color it is, Jeremy.
What if it was clear?
Clear. I like clear.
Dang it, clear, kid.
I don't want to see.
I don't want to see your penis.
I don't want to see penis in huge black letters when I drive out of my garage. It was like shocking. I was like, what? Penis.
Wow, cock and balls.
You know who it should be? Sean Alexander.
Yeah, I'm into it. Be something funny.
That would be amazing.
Who's that?
Photoshop.
It would take him 40,000 years.
Oh,
who's
gotcha.
That?
With a pen.
He does like little tiny things?
He does
no,
like, yeah,
they're
problem.
Huge. They're huge.
Like, he draws the air. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
No.
He'll do a huge picture and draw the air. Like do dots in it or something. Just something that's just makes you have anxiety every time you look at it. But you love it. Like
so
it's
good.
It's awesome.
Do you think that's appropriate for the Tacoma Dome?
No. But what I could see him doing something.
So Jeremy, what would you do for the Tacoma Dome? Here's my argument. Here's my argument.
Yeah. I'd make a
for
flower.
Andy Warhol. Here's my argument for Andy Warhol.
I put a Seahawks logo.
Oh,
boom,
please,
done.
Really, no.
Make the city money right
no,
there. Boom.
No, gross. Come on.
Come on.
That's so plebeian. It's so wrong.
I would do something,
it's not art.
But I would do something that it's had to do art. With Tacoma, is what
and
I would
what
do.
Would that be? What would that be?
I don't know. But it wouldn't be a flower. And it wouldn't. Tacoma's not has nothing to do with a flower.
All right, here's what I think the Andy Warhol connection is.
Okay.
It would be as though we were able to have Van Gogh do Starry Night on the Tacoma Dome. Would you buy into that?
No.
No, okay.
The point is, we don't need some famous person from outside.
We need
to
make
this legit.
We need to make Tacoma legit with the people that are legit.
Okay, well then why don't you propose something?
For what? It's done. Andy Warhol has it, but he's dead. And it's from all the way somewhere else. At the same time, I'm like stoked for it to not be what it is. Put Andy Warhol on it, but I'm still going to be like, that was dumb. Because you have artists that are alive and willing to do an art design on it that are from
okay,
the town.
Okay, but here's the
that's
thing.
Representing.
This is what I've experienced in Seattle, in Tacoma, is that when there are really amazing artists
they
always job in. Seattle Rep has done it over and over for decades. Jobbed in, talent from LA and New York, even bullshit TV actors from it, from LA, when they had brilliant, sitting there.
Yep.
And
that's what I'm you're saying.
But here's the thing. People in the city, they want name.
Yeah.
They want name.
They want to be an art town, so they're going to use Andy Warhol instead of the artist.
Right, exactly. But they.
And I understand it, but it's just like, I'm just saying, you need to open your brain.
I totally agree with your argument. So, why didn't a bunch of you artists, your fine artists,
stand up?
Get together and go to City Hall to the meeting and say, all right, listen, this is bullshit. Tacoma is our town and we are brilliant artists and here's what we propose. Here are five different proposals. Pick one of ours because we speak the voice of this city.
Yeah, we're from it.
We are from here. Instead of, but sometimes I think the decisions that are made, I mean, I was in the arts, I was on the, Arts Commission in Gig Harbor for 3 years. And I would have loved and somebody, an artist to come to us and fight for something, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, you guys could have derailed the plan. Let the artists speak. Because in New York, I'm telling you, New York artists wouldn't have Tacoma artists come and do something in the village, right? Or LA artists wouldn't job somebody in from Puyallup.
Damn, you got real.
To do something in, you know, Echo Lake. Or, you know what I mean? It would be from there.
Yeah.
But Tacoma and Seattle, these two towns do the same thing over and over again. They don't respect their native artists. They feel they have to bring other artists in for the audience to respect that art is there.
Yes.
And it's really bullshit. So I feel like I'm contradicting myself.
Wait a minute. Did you just talk for an hour and then just say you're right?
Yeah.
Did I say you're right?
I think so.
No, I think I did. This is not okay.
I'm with you. Fuck Andy Warhol.
Sorry. Fuck Andy Warhol.
All right.
I'm with you now.
All right. I like it. Wait a minute. Let's have a cheers for that.
Let's have a cheers. Boom. Okay.
Just falling asleep.
Just falling asleep.
This thing is just trailing out.
Yeah, no, we're going to have to... Your trip is a very long trip.
Yeah, it is a long trip. It's 1 o'clock. Oh my God, I have to go to bed.
We have to do a multi-episode.
Yeah, I think so.
Because you got like 2 more hours of shit.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Really? Is it that much more?
We haven't even gotten to the gallery yet. Boots magic, boots magic, boots magic, boots magic.